We're glad to bring you this message from Love Worth Finding Ministries with Adrian Rogers. We trust you'll be blessed as you apply these biblical truths to your daily life.
The autopsy of a dead faith. The autopsy of a dead faith. James chapter 2 and verse 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Now, at the very outset of this message, before I say anything else, I want to make it abundantly clear that a man is saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and by nothing else. It is grace plus nothing. You are not saved by doing good works. And if you feel that you are saved by doing good works, if you feel that good works even help save you, you can never, ever have the assurance of your salvation. If somebody asks you, are you saved? The very best you can say is, well, I hope I'm saved, if you believe that works have anything, whatever, to do with your salvation. Because you'll have to start adding up. Now, if you would ask me, Adrian Rogers, are you saved? I'd say, yes, praise God, I know I'm saved. You'd say, well, you have a lot of confidence in yourself. Well, if you knew me like I know me, you'd know that I don't have any confidence in me. But I've got a wonderful confidence in my Savior, and I'm trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm trusting the Word of God that says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But if works had anything to do with my salvation, and you would ask me, Adrian Rogers, are you saved? Do you know you're saved? I'd have to say, well, now let me think. Yes, I believe I'm saved. I prayed today, and I studied the Bible today, and I preached today, and I witnessed today, and I didn't curse today, and I didn't steal today, and I didn't lie today. But I did lose my temper today. Well, let me see. I hope I'm saved. You see what I'm talking about? You say, how did you lose your temper? I didn't. That's just an illustration. I did something else. I won't tell you what I did. Okay, now what I'm trying to say is this, that if you depend upon works, a little or a lot, to get you to heaven, then you'll never be able to say, praise God, I know that I'm saved. You are saved by grace through faith. Now, having said that, I want us to look at what James says, because it seems as though, on the surface, that James contradicts this truth. It seems as almost as though James and Paul are having an argument. And if you read the Bible, on the surface, it will seem like there is a grave and a great contradiction. Just keep one marker there in James, the second chapter, and then turn, please, for a moment to Romans chapter 4 and verse 2. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. And then verses 5 and 6. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now, Paul says clearly and succinctly that we're not saved by works. If Abraham were saved, justified by works, that he would have something to boast of, but not before God. And Paul makes it very clear that Abraham was not saved by works. But then, notice what James says in James chapter 3, verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Then look in verse 24. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Now that looks like a real apparent contradiction in the Word of God. Paul says it's by grace through faith. Paul says that we're justified by faith and not by works. And James says we're justified by works as well as by faith, and that faith without works is dead. Now, there is no real contradiction if you understand what both James and Paul are saying. They're both saying the same thing, but they're saying it a different way. James and Paul are giving the heads and the tails of the same truth. But here is the key to understanding the apparent contradiction. Paul is speaking about justification before God, and James is speaking about justification before men. And if you don't understand that, there will be a great contradiction. You see, God can see our hearts. God can see our faith. But look at me. Do you see any faith? You can't see any faith. Look at me. Do you see any love? You can't see any love. You can't see anything but me. You can't see what's in me. You can't see what's in my heart. The only way you know anything about my faith is what you see me do and what you hear me say, right? You can't see my heart, but God can see my heart. Therefore, I am justified before God by faith, but I'm justified before you by works. Notice, go back to the book of James again, and you'll see it a little more clearly now. James is talking about a show-me faith. James wants to get faith out of the academics and down into the arena. Look in chapter 2 and verse 14. What doth it profit, my brother, though a man say he hath faith? Just put a circle around that word say. A man says he has faith. He doesn't necessarily have it. He just simply says he has faith and hath not works. Can faith save him? And literally, the scripture says in the manuscripts, can that faith save him? Can that kind of faith save him? The faith where a man says that he has it, but he doesn't have any works to prove that he has it. And then look in verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Notice what James is saying now. Show me thy faith. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. And so James is talking about a show me kind of faith. James is not talking about being justified before God, but James is talking about being justified before men. And so man cannot see our faith apart from our works. Paul is talking about the root of our justification. James is talking about the fruit of our justification. The root is beneath ground. You can't see it. The fruit is above ground, and if the root is there, the fruit will show. Paul is talking about a no-so salvation. James is talking about a show-so salvation. There's no real contradiction at all. But what James is saying is this, and I want you to understand it very clearly. James knows, as Paul knows, that man is saved by faith alone, but the faith that saves is never alone. Now understand that. Man is saved by faith alone, but the faith that saves is never alone. And James, being the practical critter that he is, makes it very plain that people who just simply have a say-so salvation without a show-so salvation are really not going to heaven. It's not that works save. It is not that works even help save. A man is justified before God by faith alone, but that faith is proven before men, and he's justified before men by his works. And so I want us to notice the autopsy of a dead faith. I want you to notice the three marks that James gives of a dead faith. Number one, it has no compassion. Continue to read here in verse 15. If a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. James is saying pious platitudes can't get you to heaven. mere words, mere saying that you believe, the mere reciting of creeds and shibboleths and those sorts of things are never going to save your soul. Real faith gives you a love for other people. It's going to change the way you act to other people. It's going to give you a compassion. The repeating of words cannot warm and fill a hungry person, and the repeating of words cannot save and transform a life. It's merely words. And so James uses the first point, and he says in his Autopsy of a Dead Faith that it is dead because it has no compassion. And then secondly, it is dead because it has no communion. Look in verse 19 of this same chapter. Thou believest there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou not know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Again, it's dead. This time not because it has no compassion, but this time because it has no communion. You see, some people have no more faith than the devil. Did you know that in a way the devil is very orthodox? Did you know that the devil is more orthodox than some preachers I know? Did you know that? The devil is a real believer in many ways. The Bible says here the devil believes. As a matter of fact, he believes so much that it causes him to tremble. Did you know that the devil believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Turn to Matthew 8 and look in verse 29 for a moment. You'd be surprised just how much the devil believes. This is speaking of the demons, and actually James says the devils is referring to demons. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Look in Mark chapter 1 and verse 24. You're going to find out that the demons believe that Jesus is holy. Here again the demons are speaking, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Yes, not only do the demons believe he is the Son of God, they believe he is the holy, pure, sinless Son of God. But let's go on and see what else the demons believe. Look in Luke chapter 4 and verse 41 again. You're going to find out that they believe that he is the Christ of God, the Messiah of God, the one sent by God into the world to redeem the world. Luke chapter 4 and verse 41. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. Now, those are enough scriptures just to show you what I'm talking about and what James means when he says the devils believe and tremble. The devil is very, very orthodox in many ways. But you see, there's a difference. Look at that phrase, the devils believe and tremble. Do you know what the word tremble means? The literal meaning of the word is to stand up straight. It's translated in some Bibles, shudder. It has to do with a person being so frightened that their skin crawls and the hair stands up on the back of their neck. That's really what it's talking about. The demons in hell cringe. They shudder. They quake in fear at the idea of God. They believe, but their belief has never brought peace to their souls, only torment. They have no longing for Jesus. They have no love for Jesus. Do you know anyone like that? I know a lot of people. When they think of God, all they have is sort of a fearful, cringing relationship to God. But the Bible says, perfect love casteth out fear. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. A dead faith has no communion with God. Oh, it may believe facts about God. You may be very orthodox. You may pass a theological examination and go straight to hell. You can be very orthodox and believe a lot of things. But oh, I want to ask you, do you love Jesus Christ? Do you know Jesus Christ? Can you say, I am His and He is mine forever and forever? And does God's Spirit bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God? Some of you believe, but you're lost. You've never really been saved. The Bible says in John the 2nd chapter that many believed on Jesus when they saw the miracles that He did, but Jesus did not commit Himself unto them, for He knew man and needed not that any should testify what was in man. Jesus knew that these were mere surface believers. These were miracle mongers, but they didn't really believe with their heart. Did you know that some of you are going to die and go to hell because you missed salvation by 18 inches? You know, but you have no more faith than the devil himself. Now, the third mark of a dead faith. Not only is there no compassion where a man doesn't really have a love for his fellow man, not only is there no communion, he doesn't really have a love for the Lord Jesus Christ, there's also no real conversion. There's no basic change. Look, please, now beginning in verse 20. James says again, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works faith was made perfect, or faith was matured? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Now, James is saying that faith that does not change a life and does not root in action is dead. You see, an unconverted man is dead in trespasses and sins. A converted man is one who has life. Now, if you see a person who says he believes in Jesus Christ and he's been saved and born again, and yet that person won't make a confession of his faith, and that person will not follow Jesus in believer's baptism, and that person does not love the Bible, and that person does not pray, and that person does not witness, and that person has no changed life, and that person does not love the brethren, you can just mark it down. He is just deceiving himself if he says that he's saved. He has not really been converted. I want to reiterate what we said in the outset of this message, lest I be misunderstood. James is not saying, as you understand, James, that a man is saved by works. But he's saying that faith that saves always produces works, if it's real. Now, let's leave James a moment and go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 for a moment. And I think you'll see three prepositions that will make that abundantly clear. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 and 10. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now there are three prepositions. I want you to just take your pen and circle there in these verses, and if you get this down, you'll have it down and you'll know things that a lot of people don't know. The three words are, look at it, first of all, by, the little preposition by, for by grace, all right? The next preposition, through faith, circle the word through. And the next preposition is down in verse 10, unto good works. By, through, and unto. You're saved by grace. through faith unto good works. The works don't save. The grace saves. Faith lays hold upon that grace and works in us those works. Now go back to James again, the second chapter. And James gives two examples and one illustration of what he's talking about. Remember, we're saying that it's a dead faith because it has no real conversion in it. He mentions three illustrations. First of all, he mentions Abraham in verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou that faith wrought with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now watch it. When did God say to Abraham, or when does the Bible say that Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness? That was in Genesis 15. When did Abraham offer Isaac? That was in Genesis 22, 30 years later. Now what is James saying? James is saying what happened in Genesis chapter 15 was made evident to men in Genesis chapter 22. You see, in Genesis chapter 15, Abraham said he believed God. In Genesis chapter 22, Abraham showed that he believed God. Do you know how the Amplified Bible interprets verse 24? It says this, that Abraham showed himself to be justified by his works. He showed himself, not that he was justified, but he showed that he was justified. James is talking about showing it, justification before men. And so James is not saying that Abraham got right with God in Genesis chapter 22. Even he himself points back to Genesis chapter 15, but he is saying what happened in 15 was made evident in 22. And what happens to you there in that pew when you open your heart and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is often made evident up there in that baptistry. And I say, dear friend, if you don't have enough to what it takes to get you out of that seat and down here and up there and out there serving the Lord, whatever it is you have isn't real salvation. But that doesn't save you. That just simply justifies you before men. That's all. Now, the next illustration he gives is Rahab the harlot. Because Abraham, everybody thought Abraham, well, my goodness, yeah, he's got a lot of good works. And then God goes from a saint to streetwalker, who became a saint. And he shows how Rahab the harlot didn't just simply say that she believed, but she laid her life on the line and took a risk because she believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. After these two examples, he gives an illustration. And the illustration is an illustration of a dead body. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now he uses the illustration of a dead body. And the body represents faith, but the works represent life in that body. So here's a body, and we'll call the body the faith body. Now how are we going to know whether the body is dead or alive? Well, we call it anything we want, but if it doesn't move around, it's dead. Abraham Lincoln asked a little boy, if a dog has four legs and you call his tail a leg, then how many legs would he have? The little fellow said five, and Abraham Lincoln said, no, four. It doesn't matter what you call his tail, it's still a tail. You can call it a leg if you want to, see? And so you can say, you can call that a faith body. But it's not really a faith body, because if it had a faith body, it'd have life in it, because faith brings life. Well, then there's another body down here, and it starts to move. It's breathing, and it's squirming, and it's kicking. It may be standing, walking, talking, acting. Now, this body is alive. And the way that we know that it's alive is just simply that it has actions. Now, you say, that's such a stupid illustration. Well, I didn't give it. James gave it. And it's not really stupid. It is so simple. Now, a body does not have life by acting. It acts because it has life. You can't take a body and manipulate it and give it life by moving its members. But if that body has life, it's going to move. Now, the life is the gift of God. Salvation is the gift of God. And when a man is saved, it's going to change his life. That's the reason I want to repeat what we said before. If your religion hasn't changed your life, you better change your religion, because faith without works is D-E-A-D, dead. It has no compassion, it has no communion, and therefore it has had no conversion.
Do you know the Jesus Adrian Rogers spoke about? You can know abundant, eternal life through Jesus Christ right now. Say yes to Jesus. Ask him to save you. Fully trust in Christ today. You might pray something like this: Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and my sin deserves judgment, but you died to pay the penalty for my sin. So I repent of those sins now, Lord. I ask you to forgive me. Come into my life. Make me a new person in you. Thank you for saving me, Jesus, and help me to live for you from now on. Amen. And today, if you give your life to Christ, you'll want to learn how to walk with him each day. We want to help you with materials that will encourage and strengthen you as a new believer. Just write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. In Canada, you can write us at P.O. Box 152, Maple Ridge, B.C., V2X7G1. And if you have more questions about what it means to begin a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, visit our website, lwf.org. Click on the Discover Jesus link on our homepage for more information. If you'd like additional copies of this message or information about other resources, just visit our online bookstore or call 1-800-274-5683. Thank you, and may God richly bless you.